On Sunday, HBO presents the first two installments of a 7-part, 8.5-hour miniseries called John Adams, based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning book by David McCullough. Tom Hanks is one of the executive producers, and Paul Giamatti and Laura Linney star as John and Abigail Adams. Our TV critic, David Biancooley, has this review.
If you remember your American history, even a little, you probably know of John Adams as one of our country's founding fathers, as well as its first vice president and second president of the United States. That was back when uniting those states, formerly British colonies, was by no means a sure thing. But there's so much about him in this new HBO miniseries that wasn't covered in high school history classes that John Adams is bursting with one surprise after another. The opening hour begins in 1770, with John Adams arriving home on horseback in the snow and rushing almost immediately to the scene of what becomes known as the Boston Massacre, British soldiers firing on an angry mob, killing several of them. The soldiers are captured and put on trial, and John Adams takes the case, but defending the British. By the show's second hour, Adams is a delegate to the Continental Congress trying to push for a colonial militia to fight against the British. Pennsylvania delegate John Dickinson is one of those who would rather negotiate with the crown than oppose it militarily, but Adams ultimately forces the issue by nominating a colonel, another delegate to the Congress, as the general of a new colonial army. That Virginia delegate was Colonel George Washington, one of many famous figures fleshed out in this entertaining, well-told history. We get up close and personal with George Washington, played by David Morse, and with Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin, played, respectively, by Stephen Delane and Tom Wilkinson. But the core of the story, which spans more than 5 decades, belongs to John Adams, portrayed by Paul Giamatti, and his beloved, influential, opinionated wife Abigail, played by Laura Linney. Though often separated geographically, John's political career takes him not only to Philadelphia, but to France and England. John and Abigail constantly seek each other's comfort and counsel through letters. And when they're together, the strength and equality of their relationship is evident and impressive. Here's a scene in which John returns to Boston and Abigail, having just secured George Washington's appointment as head of a ragtag army, but getting no political support from most of the other colonies for waging war against England. John and Abigail are standing outside in the snow.
I understand people like Mr. Dickinson and his friends all too well, John. Send a woman to the Congress. She might knock some sense into them.
This is not a question of men and women, Abigail. It is a matter of politics.
Politics? Politics?
Mm.
And do women not live politics, John Adams? When I go to the cupboard and I find no coffee, no sugar, no pins, no meat, am I not living politics? This war touches people that your Congress treats with the same contempt King George reserves for the people of Boston. I mean women, yes, and slaves too, for that matter. Though I'm sure you wish I would not mention that subject, as it might upset your southern friends.
You're harsh, madam.
I am cold. I'm frightened. I'm afraid this war will never end or begin.
I'm frightened too, Abigail. And however much I talk and talk, I will never carry the Congress.
It's an extraordinary relationship, and these are extraordinary performances. It's almost impossible to think of Giamatti as the same guy who starred in American Splendor and Sideways. And Linney, as Abigail, exudes such strength and sense, you can't help but wish our country had made room for some founding mothers. Kirk Ellis wrote the smart screenplay adaptation for John Adams, and it's directed by Tom Hooper. Hooper's credits include two of the best TV dramas in recent years, Elizabeth I and Longford, and he's just as self-assured here. John Adams includes some major set pieces, but not as many as you might expect. Even the Boston Tea Party is an off-camera event. This HBO miniseries is far more concerned with where the real action is. It's in private conversations and public debates. It's dialogue. It's vocabulary. It's ideas. And it's truly inspirational. This historical miniseries also brings to mind another piece of history, TV history. The first time television devoted a miniseries to John Adams was in the bicentennial year of 1976 with the PBS drama The Adams Chronicles. Even before that, CBS presented a miniseries about Benjamin Franklin, and in the 1980s gave us Barry Bostwick as a memorable George Washington. But now, the broadcast networks don't even bother making miniseries anymore, much less important, impressive, instructive historical dramas. They've ceded that territory to cable, which is a short-sighted, stupid mistake. John Adams is just the sort of program the broadcast network should be proud to present. If they don't know why they're losing audiences, here's another reason why. History, in the right hands, is a thrilling resource for television, and the miniseries form is the perfect canvas for a story that spans decades and contains lots of complex characters and events. Tom Hanks, as a movie star, understands this all too well. As a TV producer, his company has given us long-form dramatic miniseries about space travel, from the Earth to the Moon, and World War II, Band of Brothers. And now The Birth of Our Nation in John Adams. Hanks is 3 for 3, and all three were made for HBO. Good for Tom Hanks, good for HBO, and very, very bad for broadcast television.
David Biancooley writes for TVWorthWatching.com and for Broadcasting and Cable Magazine.